Expressions from St. Paul is 100% listener supported. We thank you for your faithful prayers and contributions. It's because of you that we get the opportunity to share the good news gospel of Jesus Christ with the world.
You got to come to God and surrender all and reason that we don't move on with Christ is because we think we have arrived. But I got news for you. You have not arrived.
Dr. Williams follows up last week's powerful message, Keep Moving On, with part two, which he titles, Keep Moving Forward with Christ. And he teaches that our past is behind us, and moving forward, we're in the right hands.
You cannot correct your past. Somebody said, you know, you used to be low-down and dirty. Thank them and keep walking. I may have been talked about and lied on, but I'm in the right hand. And as long as I'm in the right hand, nobody can do me no harm. And so I tell him every night, and Lord, you know I have failed, but I'm in the right hand. When you fail, quit crying, quit lying. Just tell God I messed up, but I'm in the right hand. And watch what he'll do for you.
Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 48 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person this Sunday morning. At 9:30 a.m. sharp, we are honoring our pastor, Dr. Ephraim Williams, as we celebrate 48 years of sacrificial ministry here at the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. Let's fill the sanctuary. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. If you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 12 down through 16. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the sanctuary, and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
Today we want to talk about, my friends, keep moving forward with Christ. Keep moving forward with Christ. Let me give you a little, as we begin and go into our subject today, what I left after I had prayed, and my late wife, she had prayed with me for us to move from Chicago to California. I listen carefully as I can when the Holy Spirit is speaking. And so he gave me the okay in January to move. And by that he showed me in a vision that if I moved, I was concerned about that because I had a family. I never did believe in, as a man, getting something for nothing unless I was unable. Amen. And so I came here. After I did all of that, I went to my pastor because I always respected him and honored him, and most of all, the position he had. I said to Pastor Robertson, I said, we have made a decision. We are moving to, I'm going to California and looking to find a place for us to move. And I want to get, see, from you that you have anything you would like to say to me before I go. He stood up. And I was sitting down, and he said, yes, you shouldn't go. And I don't blame him. He didn't say anything wrong. I worked hard in that church. And he says, but I know you, so you've been praying a lot. I said, that's right. He said, well, if you're going to go, I have a friend there, and I want to give you a letter, and I want you to go to his church and become a member. And I'm going to call him and tell him what kind of deacon that you served here in this church. he would be a benefit to that church. As a deacon, Sunday school superintendent, part superintendent, section assistant, and our Sunday school teacher. So I worked in the Christian education department. So he gave me a letter, and I came to this church. At the other church, I came to that Sunday. My family was still in Chicago. So I came to visit this church to see if this is where I should, even though I had the letter. So I came here to visit that Sunday morning. I enjoyed the service, enjoyed the people. I will never forget this. Five people in this church, the old church, as I was moving, stopped and spoke to me. Five. And happened to have me as a visitor. So I went to visit another church because my family wasn't here. And while I was in that church visiting, I was overpowered by the Holy Spirit. If you don't know what that is, you should pray for it. And in the overpowering of the Holy Spirit, the voice said to me, "John." And I sit down. He like he was all behind me telling me, "Go and join." The pastor said there was a man in the back. There's a young man to my right. There's a man there. He is a preacher. He has a collar on. Said, "I invite you to come to the pulpit." So he wasn't talking to me because I didn't have no collar on, one. And number two, I wasn't going to admit that I had been called a priest. I wasn't preaching, but I wasn't going to admit that. Because part of my reason of leaving Chicago, not all of it, part of it was to run in from preaching. I wasn't going to be preaching. And I saw in my vision that when I preached, I was going to pastor. I saw the church I was going to have to build. I saw the other church was going to become overfilled. All of that. And when I saw the church I was going to have to build and overfill, I said, "I am not going to be accepting no calling for preaching to deal with all of those colored people." That's what I said. And so, because I was afraid that someone would do something to me. And I told him, "I don't care what you say, I was saved. I have been filled with the Holy Spirit, but I wasn't that saved that you'd put your hand on me." No, I wasn't that saved. And I'm still not that saved. Don't keep your hand off of me. I don't want you putting your hand on me. You want to slap me, two people ever slapped me and got away with it. That's Hilda and Sue. And Sue slapped me so hard I saw stars. And she slapped me. In fact, she slapped me so hard I haven't even been bowling since. And I was a good bowler, and I love bowling, but she slapped the bowling out of me. That's reality. And so, friends, I joined the church there. And my family got upset because they hadn't arrived. And then that's where I was overwhelmed with my calling. Pastor William was preaching about I'm going to fly away, talking about the Holy Spirit. He was salvation. When you're saved and at the end of your life, you'd fly away. And then the Holy Spirit overshadowed me again. I drug out 2-3 ushers. They going out the door because I was doing everything in my power to ignore being called. You sitting here today listening, looking at me and listening to me. You in radio land and on television. You can do whatever you want to do. I don't care what you do. You will never, I don't care how many degrees you have, you will never outsmart God. So finally I said to him, I had been called to three churches. And the fourth one, it was a tie between me and another minister. I asked them, do not submit my name. And then I asked 27 of associates and friends of mine not to vote for me. That's right. I repeat, I was called to four churches, three churches, and we was going on tie to vote on the first Saturday in June. And I was called here the fourth Sunday in May. God unraveled the tie and still sent me back where Reverend Robinson told me to come the first time. I don't think you get that. And so I came here, and I was over the church for 30 days, and two of the deacons wanted me to give a resume. No way I'll give no. I have never gave no resume to get no church, and I never will. You don't have to. This is to you. Just like I am called by God, and he knows he wasn't in a position to guide me and handle my needs. He ceased to be God. And let me say this to you. Turn around, Tony. I want you to see this. I won't be able to finish the sermon on today, the second. I got, so you'll have the third one coming later. When this is God. This here is God. And this is you. Brother Brown, at one time you were lost, unsaved. I don't care how nice you were still lost. This Brown. And when you got saved, just like Brother Brown got saved, when you get saved, listen careful, then you come to be from over here in here. Then you become part of God's family. And then the devil can only do so much against you unless you slide from God's family. Otherwise, you can't. It won't happen. So what happened was, not only did I accepted my calling, I been here in this church. My friends, already, for the fourth Sunday, and this month, next Sunday, I'll be here in this church 48 years and 4 months. And I've had 7 opportunities to go somewhere else. Third Baptist in San Francisco, a church that is 60% others, 40% Alpha America in Los Angeles with 2,800 members, because they said my communication skills was very good. I didn't make no opportunity to apply. Lamar is when I stepped out. I had one of the largest denominations in the United States, spoke to me 15 minutes in my office, and then he added to it, trying to get me to move to Los Angeles to become the pastor of another church. The only reason I'm telling you that, and there's a reason.
Yes, sir.
There's a reason. Listen carefully. Don't clown. Get all vexed and all upset if God has saved you. I'm not fighting trying to see how much I love God. I'm fighting to thank him how much he loves me. He loves me so much until I have asked questions. Now you have to listen. This is part of the sermon. I, brothers and sisters, I can name you at least 20 people that did everything in their power to try to destroy me. At least. And I can name them all. And you can check the record. All of them has gone through hell. And some of them died and went to hell maybe. And I'm still here saying, thank you, Lord, for blessing me again. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me again. All that I am and all I hope to be, I owe it all to thee. I'm telling you, the God I serve is real. Real. I came here in May and lived with my brother-in-law that I missed, the pastor on, and and my family came here in the end of June, and I bought a house the first week in August. That's right, because I was trained to do that. Friends, my daddy died in October. Had a massive stroke and passed on. They called me, and I did not. We had just bought a house in August, and the supposed to be boss, she had bought new furniture, and all the money I had was $300 and some. I told you this before. So I had to go home. My kids didn't want to go. They wanted to remember daddy like it was. I said, I'm going to the funeral. $300 and some. Listen carefully. My auntie called and said, now, I know you just moved to California, so give me the cost of the tickets. I hadn't asked her nothing. I said, I'll get back to you. My brother called and said, we have paid for your tickets on this end. What time you want to leave and what plane you want to ride on? Within about 2 hours, my pastor came. And he said, how much is the ticket? And I told him. He said, this is from the mission. And stand up, brother. And he says, and this is from me. Then the next day where I worked, the gentleman, my boss came to my house. And he was white. He said, I understand you're going back to Mississippi for your father's service. And I understand the ticket, $300 and something. He said, so among us, we did the best we can. We have $500 and something. So when I got through, I had over $2,000. This is part of the sermon. And the reason that I had it. Check my record. You can go back and dig as long as you want to. One thing you will not find, that I have been cheap. I share my money with people, kids, young people, college kids. They got some people that owe me money now. If they would pay me, I could be on the beach for 6 months. But I'm not angry with them because I've stopped my prayers from being answered. I have never had a case and had a need God didn't fulfill it. Never. Not one, never. And so many of you, the reason you don't enjoy church very much, many of you, you don't enjoy church because you only know church. I don't just know church. I know the church organizer. Yeah. Until you stop and get to know Jesus, you are never going to enjoy church. You'll get by, but you won't enjoy. Amen. Now, and this is to the church. I know you're thinking that I forgot it, but I didn't. We are going to get the Family Life Center built. So you might as well get in your prayer how much you're going to give. Senior housing. Don't ask me how much you're going to give. We'll be talking about it soon when you're going to have to give some money. And no dollar. Some money. Let me give you a testimony. I gave over $50,000 on this building. I pledged $35,000, and my wife pledged $35,000. That's right. And I said to my daughter, if I die, if we die before we pay it, you pay it, because I made a pledge. Let me do something that'll help you. Let me do something that will help you. I was at the airport in San Francisco going to my daddy's service. And I forgot my ticket. Not ticket, but I got my money. Sue had got me a reservation. I went to the window and I said, oh my land, I forgot my ticket. The main thing, I forgot my credit card. And I said, I got to do something because I have to go to a funeral. I have to go. Hey, Lord help me. All of a sudden a man walks from behind. He said, Dr. Wayne, what you doing here? I said, I am going to a funeral. I forgot my credit card to pay for my ticket. He said, that's no problem. He turned to the lady who was taking the ticket. He said, give him the ticket, a round trip, and put it under my name, and I'll pay for it in a few minutes. He lived in San Francisco. So when I came back, I gave him his money and a tip, because I'm a tipper. Care what you say, I'm a tipper. And so when I got through with him, with his money, and tipped him, he called me. I was in the office at the old church. He said, Pastor William, I can't do this. I said, do what? He said, I'm mailing you back the money that I bought the ticket from. Don't make me miss my blessing. Not only did I get the ticket free, I had $2,000. I just left it. All of what I'm saying, until you submit to God, all you have is going to slowly get away. But when you submit, as some you have to spend, he'll replace it over here. If you don't know that, you try. You got some of the cheapest, meanest, hardcore people you'll ever know is members of somebody's church. And they're wasting their time. You're wasting your time. You're wasting it. I didn't only give my money to help build this building. I gave my prayer for over 2 years on this cold ground and hot ground. Prayed every day. Said, Lord, when you say yes, I'll move. People say, well, he's not moving because the deacon don't want him, the deacon had nothing to do with it. And so when God moved, I moved. And you see what happened? And because I moved and God moved, you moved, and you see you are in here. And the last thing as we move for the introduction, we don't need that kind of building, Pastor William. Why you want to build that kind of building? I said, because it's the 21st century. We can't build in the 19th century. Shotguns were built in that century. We got to build now so you don't know which end is the front. I don't care what you say about Ephraim. I don't like nothing. I like something. And I like for it to look like something. I like for it to be something. Now this is, I don't usually flaunt myself, but this time I'll do it. You never seen me in the street look like nothing. And you said?
Yeah.
And you won't unless I can't see or hear. I'm going to look like something. Now I have to look like something because I'm looking. And who knows, she might come by. And if I look like something, she goes, oh. I thought you'd laugh. Paul, in Philippians, the third chapter, verses, you will keep your seat, verses 12 through 14. We want to talk about this morning. Repeat after me. Keep moving,
forward
with Christ. That's part two. Now here you got Philippians. The pen writer in this is Paul. Paul was Saul. He grew up in an area that wasn't like what we came out of. Saul was born in the city of Tarsus, which is located in the modern day Turkey. You find all of that. I'll tell you that all the time. Take notes on me. I don't have no problem. And you won't come back because when you read it, it shocks you. Acts, the 9th chapter and 11th verse. He was born around AD 5 from the Jewish parents. Strict. Guided. From Saul, God allowed him to attack his people. He locked up, I told you that, women and children, put them in jail. Women, I don't know about you, but women and men. He beat them, killed some, and ordered some to be killed. But see what many people in church and radio land don't get, God only lets you go so far. And God said, now, Saul, you've done enough. And so he got his little group together, like some people in church with the clicks. You can click it all you want to, but you won't live to see what the results of it. So Saul got his clicks together and was going down, what's the name of the town? Damascus. And in his going, he was going to stop the movement of what it is called the way. Now, he's going to stop God. Like some of you think you're going to stop the church. And so God said, go on down there. And he got to a certain distance almost to that area. And he was on a horse, the best that you can buy. God slapped him and knocked him off of that horse. And when he got up, he was in a new world. He wasn't in the same world. And then God told him, now the folks you've been beating and killing, go on down to this area, and there'll be somebody there that will tell you more about me. Here Paul got slapped him so hard, Paul said, Lord, what would thou have me to do?
That's what he said.
Me.
That's what he said.
This week, I witnessed to a gentleman, quite wealthy gentleman. He's doing well. A Caucasian gentleman, my friends. He started the conversation, so it gave me a chance to witness to him about God. And he had all these excuses, and he meant well. When I got through with him, he said, "You know, you're right." I said, "You looks at too many people. Some of y'all running with people, talking to people. You need to look at them. And you need to cut away from some of them." Two gentlemen, we was close friends, but when I said I stopped drinking, I told them, "You will never get another drink in my house. Never. You can drink sodas, Kool-Aid, you can drink tea, but no alcohol." They turn against me. I love them more. After 24 years, one came back. I said, "You know, I'm not drinking no more." I said, "What happened?" "It makes me sick." I said, "That's what I used to pray for. That alcohol make you sick." "Amen. I know you said, why would you do that?" Because he had potentials that the devil was robbing him of. Amen. So listen, Saul became Paul. Listen what happened. Paul's testimony. He says, "I'm a Jew born and raised in the city of Tarsus in Caesarea. I was a student of Gamaliel and was taught to follow every single, my friends, law of our ancestors. In fact, I was just as eager to obey God as any of you are today," Acts 22 and 3. So when you look at Saul, look at Paul, look at Saul, if God could take a killer, or you call it a murderer, an academically trained man, academically, he was as high as you could go. Theologically, he could not go anyhow higher under Gamaliel. Gamaliel was the best they had. So he had the academical training and had the theological training. And yet he said, "I have not yet attained. I haven't reached where I'm going." And some of you sit on the pew and criticize other people. Don't you know God hears you? And he's going to remind you before you die. Now, let me tell you something, mess your theology up. God brought you in this world for a purpose. You didn't come here just to look in love. One of the things that is destroying America today is money, power, and sex. It's destroying America. Because they don't know how to handle it. Nothing wrong with money. Nothing wrong with power as long as you stay in your lane. There's nothing wrong with sex if you handle it the right way. Let's move on. And so here's a man, Saul moved to Jerusalem as a young age. Acts 7:58. Upon arriving in Jerusalem, Saul became a student of Gamaliel in Jerusalem. Gamaliel was a respected Pharisee who also served on the Sanhedrin Council. My friends, if you read it, it was in Jerusalem under the tutelage of Gamaliel that Paul learned more about the Hebrew scripture. He became a professional in the application of the law as taught through my friend, the rabbi in school of Gamaliel, located in Jerusalem. He was just as strong and powerful as Paul as he was Saul. People say, well, you know, you don't need to do all of what you don't need to do all what you're saying. We don't need to do all of that. The reason I clap my hands in church, the reason I'm rocking church, because a few years ago, I used to go to the dance, and I didn't clap my hand. I moved my legs, and I swung, and then I slow drag, and then I... And if I could do it for the devil, I'm going to do it for God. I know what you're saying. You bring over what you used to use and it was beneficial for the kingdom of God. The gentleman I was talking to, he asked me, had I ever thought about this week, has you ever thought about visiting and speaking in, he used the word, white churches? I said, no, because there is no white church. He said, what do you mean? I said, I mean there is no white church. He said, oh, what, isn't there a black church? I said, no. There's no white church or no black church. It's just a church. I said, I've spoken in a church, many of them. It had nothing to do with me. I just delivered the message. See, once you learn, and if I would tell you all part of my story, you would never want to deal with some people in the country. My grandfather was murdered, hung for nothing. But I don't hold it against nobody. Because the reason I don't, I got saved. I never heard my dad hold it against anybody. He was killed for nothing. Lied on, and they hung him. That's not the only bad thing happened. Jesus preached what was right. Led the disciples. And they killed him for nothing. But thank God, because he was killed for nothing, he was put in a grave, and he rose for something. And the something was to save sinners like us. You can sit around here and look cute, act cute all you want to, but you was once lost, and if you're not careful, you still haven't got it all. This God I want you all to get. Amen. Somebody said, but Pastor, you going to retire? I didn't tell you I was going to retire from preaching. I'm going to preach till I die. And anybody get in my way, I'm going to tell God. I'm used to that. I'm going to teach. I'm going to do a workshop. But I'll be on my own and on schedule. I have to deal with my health. And God would not have told me what's wrong, and I don't want to deal with it. And he has the power to heal anything. Amen. Amen. You said, but Brother Pastor, you might not be able. And let me say this to you older people. And you're going to get angry, and that is fine because you don't live with me. You need to quit telling people I'm getting old. I can't do what I used to do. They already know that. You just tell God, let me do what I can do. And then you get out there and start doing it. I married a lady 83 years old, and the man was 85, and I married him on the Saturday in May, and they went to Europe on the Monday. They was in Europe 6 weeks. At that age, when they came back, they act like they was about 20. If you'd quit getting old, and God will keep you moving on. My mother said, if death want me, he has to catch me. I'm not laying around waiting on him. So So just because you're 75 years old, so what? You're 75, Richard? That has nothing to do with God. It has to do with you. Get up in the morning. Get you a hot shower and get you some tea or some coffee or whatever is hot you can find. And then you say, I don't feel so good. Keep on moving. You'll feel better by 12. Quit giving the devil something to work with. So what happened, my brothers and sisters? Paul, I just love him. I don't have time to deal, but you got another one coming. The third one. Listen carefully. He described athletes, us like them. Let me tell you about is Ronnie here? We can run down front. Who else played football or basketball? Stand up if some of y'all played football or basketball. Don't act like I don't know you. Listen careful, church. Listen careful. You know why Paul describes athletes in the faith and teaching us by as an athlete? You know why he did that? Now listen, you correct me. When you are inducted into the main, you're playing basketball and football in school, and now you're graduated and you want to join the, what's the next level? Who? That's where you want to join. Now when you join that group, that means then, you was good over here, but they see in you, you can be better. Now listen careful. So in order to be better, all of you are going to say amen when I tell you the truth, because I'm going, God hears you. You training to be better, you cannot be eating Big Macs and French fries. Am I right or wrong? You've got to give up something. And number two, you can't hang out at night. You have to get some what? Rest. That's because that's the way with the Christian. Now you are saved. You can't be eating a Big Mac of nothing. It got to be of something. You said, but I'm doing well. But you can do better. You can do better if you are disciplined. Pope, he plays. I don't care how well he can play. He can do better. The gentleman that was singing here, what is his name? They were jumping up. One of my sons, what is his name? You know why he can do that? He can do that because it gets in him. And he can't just, yes, when it get in him, that's what happened when you let it move in you. Amen. Let's move on here. So Paul said, I have an admiration, and that is I have not attained yet. You quit talking about you doing well. I knew Patsy Green here. I remember her when she was younger than me. There she is. She was singing. But as she grew, she started singing better. She started taking it easy and singing. Not what you think, but singing. She'll tell you, she remembered me, and I wasn't preaching. And I wasn't cussing. You got to come to God and surrender all. And the reason that we don't, my friends, move on with Christ is because we think we have arrived. But I got news for you. You have not arrived. I went to some place up north and somebody built a home. Beautiful home. Three stories. You got the first floor, the second floor, and the third floor. Beautiful mansion. It got everything in it you need. And I went to see somebody, can't walk out of it. Homes is wonderful, but they cannot save you. He's still thinking God, so when he's talking about what he's going to do, brother, you better stop to thank the Lord what he's going to let you do. How many of y'all prayed this week? Lord, I got to buy a car. Help me, Lord, to find a car that I need, not what you want. How many of you prayed to God, I got to go, ladies, I'm going shouting and get me a dress. How many of you prayed to God, Lord, help me to find a dress that I need that fits my money instead of pulling out some car charger? Hallelujah. It's just so wonderful to follow Jesus. Friends, listen careful. Keep moving forward with Christ. Keep moving on. Don't stop because you had some hindrance. We all had those, and we're going to have some more. But don't stop. Don't stop. Paul gave an illustration that I just love. We'll finish next and on the third. Listen, I really love this illustration. He says he went down from where he was, this gentleman, from where he was. And there was a pencil there. And he said to the pencil, he says, you're good, but you need some tips. So the pencil said, what do I need? He says, you can correct a lot of mistakes because you're a pencil. So he said, what you need a good sharpener that every now and then you got to sharpen your pencil. That's what happens to the believer. You need to sharpen your spirit every now and then. You need to tell God, I know you, save me. And I know if you save me, you can help me. He said to the pencil, not only you need a good sharpener every now and then, but you need some paper to write on. He said to the pencil, before I put you in this box to mail you, you also need somewhere to keep your pencil. What we need, we are now saved, we need to learn how to sharpen our somewhat, our minds. Sharpen them that you might do well. Then he said to the pencil, he didn't stop there. He says, they have mistakes. Yes, sir. You erase them. Now, in order to erase mistakes, you only can do that by prayer. Quit dragging along your past. You cannot correct your past. Somebody said, you know, you used to be low down and dirty. Thank them and keep walking. He said to the pencil, now you go on and use your pencil when you need it. Because your pencil is in the right hand. Friends, I might be down, but I'm in the right hand. I may be disappointed, but I'm in the right hand. I may have been talked about and lied on, but I'm in the right hand. And as long as I'm in the right hand, nobody can do me no harm. And so I tell him every night, and Lord, you know I have failed, but I'm in the right hand. When you fail, quit crying, quit lying. Just tell God, I messed up, but I'm in the right hand. And watch what he'll do for you. Let me give you something about being in the right hand. We was picking Sears Roebuck and years ago, and they put us in a parking lot, about 600 or 700 of us, in a parking lot. It was a racial thing, and it was hot, over nearly 100 degrees and humidity. They put us in the thing, and I was a member of the Protection Association Club, that we paid $100 a month, so if we got in trouble, the lawyers would come and get us out. And so the people was crying, what are we going to do? It's 1 o'clock. Where are we going? We don't have no money to get out of here. And they knew about the club. They wouldn't join because they was too cheap. They was Baptists. And so I said, William, why are you acting so calm? I said, I'll be out of here in 20 minutes. He said, what do you mean by that? I said, because I'm in the right hand.
Yes, sir.
I'm under somebody who is protecting me. Yes. It's through God, through them, through me. Are you in the right hand? If not, I tell you today, you can accomplish anything you want to. But until you get in the right hand, you will never enjoy real life. I took my family. I wanted to go to a resort where it was quiet and calm. When I got to the place, I didn't like it. My late wife said to me, she said, you need to learn that everywhere you go, you take yourself. And you bring all the other problems with you. Learn, she says, wherever you are, to be content. And you can enjoy your life better. I didn't say to her, don't tell me nothing. I said, thank you. And the next day I said, let's go somewhere else. Because I was under the right hand, not in it. Where are you today? Where are you? Well, I've been coming to church every Sunday, but that isn't the question. Where are you? Are you in the right hands? If not, you should come and accept him. If you get in the right hands, you will have a peaceful evening. Yeah, storm would hit you, but you'll still have peace. If you're in the right hands. Ask yourself, am I in the right hands? And if not, come. Come down and accept Jesus. Don't worry about people. Why you worry about people? You can't get in their hand. They can't save you. But if you want to be in the right hands, come to Jesus today and watch him. You say, but I've been playing. I've been playing church a long time. You're not in the right hand. That's why you play church. If you were in the right hand, you would quit complaining and quit remembering old stuff. In the right hand, you keep moving up. You keep going up. 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 Where did Ronnie go? I need him back down here. The reason I keep bugging him because it keep coming to me. Ronnie is still here? Ronnie, get up there, please, and sing, "Thank You, Lord." If your mother want to help you and she's here, that's fine. But you are responsible. That's what happened to you when you in the what? In the right hand. You don't know when you're going to be called. Let us have it, Ronnie. It's called "Thank You, Lord." For all you, what it you have done for me. Church, have you ever stopped to think what God has done for you? Have you ever thought about it? Well, if you haven't, you should. And you have you ever thought about what he can do for you if you accept him? Amen. Let us stand.